News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
I'm joined now by Colm Flynn, Vatican correspondent for the Global Catholic Television Network, EWTN. Good morning to you, Colm. How are things in the Vatican this morning? Is there still that kind of euphoria that we saw yesterday evening?
Hey, good morning, Shane. Good morning, Ciara. And you know what? There absolutely is. And it's interesting, I was listening to your conversation there, and I myself was wondering that last night when I saw the throngs of people coming to the square, when the white smoke appeared and then the bells started ringing. People from every street, they were just running. Students were coming out of universities. People were leaving restaurants. I met one person who was sweating and they said they were in the gym, but they actually did the best workout of their life when they ran from the gym to get to the Vatican. But I think what has made people connect with this moment so much is that, you know, in a world, as you say, where we have so much war, there is so much uncertainty. I think for a long time as well, particularly for young people, they've been told, you know, if you get that big job with Google or you get the corner office, that will give you happiness. Then they realize, well, you can get fired. You know, people have faults and failings. They will disappoint you many times. But here you have something that is so grounding. It is so profound. You can just look at it and see that it's rich in tradition, in beauty and culture. And then as soon as Pope Leo XIV came out, he said, I want to share with you the message of the risen Christ. Peace be with you. The gospel message going back 2,000 years. I mean, I think there's no getting away from it, that it really touches people to the core.
His message, Pope Leo XIV, as he is now known, his message is one of peace and unity. It's coming probably at a good time, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, during the pre-conclave meetings, when the cardinals were meeting here at the Vatican, just next to where I'm speaking to you now, we got an idea of the emphasis that was going to push this conclave. And the thing that kept coming up again and again was unity. So, you know, a bit like in society with the culture wars or whatever way you want to put it, within the Catholic Church, especially during Pope Francis's papacy, we saw this divide, the progressive left
and
the more
traditional
right.
And the conservatives,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't even like to use the word conservative sometimes because is a word that's used to degrade people sometimes now. But I would say the more traditional, not even, you know, conservative, just people who take their faith seriously and believe in the gospel message. Many of them felt alienated in Pope Francis's pontificate. And what was so fascinating, Ciara, was when Pope Leo came to the balcony, he re-emphasized so many of those priorities of Pope Francis's pontificate. He talked about peace, about being there with the migrants. He mentioned the environment. So he was, you know, speaking to that side of the church. But look what he was wearing. Because Pope Francis, when he came out, he refused to wear the elaborate traditional papal clothing. He wanted to wear something simple and white. But Pope Leo went back and he actually was wearing the elaborate red, more traditional papal attire, which I think was a message to the more traditional side of the Catholic Church, the more conservative side, saying, look, I'm a pope for everybody.
Because symbolism is huge. And that schism that was feared, that like he wasn't one of the front runners. He wasn't one of the names we heard bandied about very much. He was sort of a compromise candidate, is that fair to say, or a centrist candidate?
Yeah, he was like, in terms of like favourites, he was kind of second tier among the favourites of cardinals. And he is seen as being more progressive on social issues, but he is seen as being very much in the middle, a moderate. And, you know, he's worked in Peru for many years, for a third of his life as a missionary. And he ran one of the big dicasteries here. So he's seen as someone who can be a pastor, but also can get a job done as well.
Look, thank you very much for joining us, Colm. That's Colm Flynn there, Vatican correspondent for Global Catholic Television Network, EWTN. And we're joined now by Archbishop Dermot Farrell of Dublin. Good morning to you, Archbishop.
Good morning, Ciara.
Your reaction to what we saw yesterday, the election of Pope Leo XIV?
I was delighted with the election of Pope Leo XIV. You know, and I said to myself last night that the Holy Spirit is truly at work here. In the selection of this man to lead the church at this time. I think the discernment process that went on over the last 9 days of discussions with the cardinals and then the voting that took place on Wednesday and yesterday has you know, thrown up this man, and I certainly think it's good for the future of the church.
Archbishop, do you have a view on where you would like to see this papacy go, or what you'd like the new pope to achieve? He is considered a unifying character within the church.
Yeah, I think he'd be a unifying character within the church. I think listening to him last night, just in that very little short piece, the interesting thing was he mentioned mission at least five times in that little excerpt, you know, that Orbi et Orbi. So I think that's going to be strong. It's very much part of his background as well in terms of, you know, the missionary church. He worked in Peru for in a couple of decades. He was even a Peruvian. He took out Peruvian citizenship. So he'd be very much formed, I think, in the mission of the church, the proclamation of the gospel, and going out into the highways and byways. He was also, of course, an Augustinian, which would have a profound influence on his thinking and theology. I think he's going to be good in governance. He has worked in governance. A bishop has a governance function. He was leader of his order, a worldwide order that, you know, requires governance. And obviously, he's worked in the Holy See. So he's this broad expanse of experience, both as a pastor and in governance. And I think that's something that he's going to bring. And he brings his own personality, of course, as well. That has to be said.
Yeah, and from what we're hearing, he's a likable and nice man. That seems to be
what... Yeah, he's a very humble man, I think.
He's described in different terms, for example, to Pope Benedict, that would be my outsider, you know, people are saying he's a very kindly man and a very warm kind of a man. Maybe lastly, and I mean this in no trite way, is getting a new pope a bit like getting a new leader of a political party or a new president or prime minister? Does it reinvigorate? Is there a kind of a bounce, do you think, that comes with a new pope for the church?
Yeah, I think there's a nice expectation. He's not a political leader. He's a leader of the faith. Of course, that's the first thing. So we don't think in those political categories. But yeah, inevitably, I think people look forward to getting a new leader of the Catholic Church. He'll bring it in a slightly probably different direction than his predecessor, but yet in continuity. And there's often that bounce that, as you say, that comes from somebody new. Particularly, I suppose, when you come to the end of a papacy, you know, Francis had been ill for some time, and he brings a new way of thinking, maybe. He'd bring something different.
You said a slightly different direction. What is the difference, do you think, in that direction? Or was Francis slightly divisive?
No, I don't think so. I think Francis was very good for the church. You know, he was very pastoral, Francis, in terms of his pastoral approach and the application of doctrine. This man is a canon lawyer, so he's a different formation, you know, in the background. So inevitably, you know, if you think of every pope from John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, and John Paul I wasn't really around long enough, John Paul II, they all brought something different, and there was a shift in emphasis. Like John the 23rd, there was a massive shift from Pius the 12th. It was literally a paradigm shift in terms of where he went. Paul the 6th then was a more steadying influence. John Paul II came out of the Polish background. He was, you know, more strict, I suppose you'd put it that way. Benedict was very, you know, he came from the doctrine end.
Yeah.
But he was a great pastor. He was a very gentle individual, very soft-spoken, very kind-hearted. And then Francis, he was very outgoing. He spoke a bit more off the cuff sometimes. You know, I was at in things in the Holy See where he'd have a script, and then he'd put down the script and he'd look out over the top of it and he'd make, you know, a few off the cuff comments. And people loved that. And he had these phrases which resonated with people, you know, the people in the street sitting in their kitchen. You know, these things like, and these are, and this man will bring something different as well.
We shall wait and see, and no doubt the eyes of the world will be on him, particularly in light of all the political, I suppose, fallout with President Trump and all that too. But thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Archbishop Dermot Farrell of Dublin.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.